fact that I'm a brunette? I don't know. But he asked me to stand in tonight for him, so I'm proud to do that. I'm honored, and I am humbled. So I believe we were going to go to Genesis 12. Have you already read that? I don't know. We missed a Wednesday, but I believe we were reading Genesis 12. That's what was coming up next. So I will be happy to read that to you in the New King James, because I know that's what he reads out of. So I'm going to read that to y'all in the New King James, and we'll go from there. All right. Genesis 12, starting verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So, hallelujah, I'm going to pause there. God is giving Abraham promises, or Abram. He's not Abraham yet. He's Abram at this point. And God is giving him promises. And Abram, he listens to this voice, this disembodied voice that comes from who does, he knows not where, but it told him he's God, and he believed. And so he followed the instructions of this voice, this God, who told him, get out of his country. And from this, we know that the Jews are God's chosen people. He said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great." He's talking about not only Abraham, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about the Hebrews, the Jewish people. And then verse 3, praise God, I love this. I love this verse. This is another promise of our Lord Jesus coming. When he says, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That's who he's talking about. He's talking about our Lord Jesus. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we know that because of Jesus, we are renewed back to our Father. We are no longer separated from God. We are brought back into the family. I'm not going to go there. You can read Romans 8 whenever you like. But that's what it talks about. We are reconciled unto God through Jesus. And here is another promise. You know, in the garden, God told Eve, "Your seed will crush the serpent's head." And that is what happened on that cross when Jesus went with obedience. Some people say he went gladly. I say, no, he didn't. Why did he go gladly if he said, "Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me"? He cried in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat blood. He did not go gladly, but he went. And that's the point. Yeah. Yeah. He said that he did the, yeah. He said, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And so that is, I think, Abraham gives us a precursor of that. He had no clue what was going to come about when he went to this new country, but he went. And so I believe because of situations like this, this is why Abraham becomes and is called the father of faith. Now, I'm not going to blow Abraham up. I'm not going to build him up because he's human, as we're going to find out in this very chapter as I continue to read. But does anyone else have any other comment about the promise that we have? Because this promise is from not only for Abraham, but it is also for us. This Abrahamic covenant is ours because of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I continue. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. I want to pause here real quick. That word people, all the people whom they'd acquired, that the King James says souls. It's very important we understand that we are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. I like people to remember that at all times, because you don't, just because your body wants something doesn't necessarily mean you have to do that thing. Just because, I mean, I it's obvious, I've given into my flesh frequently, but we don't have to. And so we can overcome that. We can, Paul said, crucify our flesh. But I don't want to get off onto that. It's a whole different message. Continuing from verse 6. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, or your seed, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he's trusting in the Lord for the promise. He's building an altar. When they built an altar, then that was for giving of thanks and giving of praise. So he built an altar to the Lord because he said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And Abram hadn't had even the promise of Isaac at this point. He just heard from God to say, go. And he went. He hadn't discussed with him about Isaac, about Sarah having a baby. There was none of that yet. He just believed God and gave thanks. To your descendants, I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So there he builds another altar, just having the word from the Lord. Later on we'll see where Abram has some doubt, as we all do at times. He's a human being. And he says, you know, you say you're going to give me all this stuff, but I don't have a son. I don't have a child. I go childless. That's later on. Right now, we've come to a point where there is quite a controversy here. People have talked about this and said, wait, you know, this does not seem right. So let me read through this, and then we'll go over it. Now, there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen, when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is his wife. And they kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So people say, oh, he's lying. He's wanting to lie to these Egyptians. He's saying that his wife is his sister. Well, first of all, she actually was his half-sister. So he wasn't lying. However, and people would excuse what he did because of that, but let's get to the point. He also had a wife in Sarai. So she wasn't just his sister. And so he wasn't technically lying. However, she was his wife as well. And what he tells the Pharaoh here is, you can't call it a lie, an outright lie, but it's a lie of omission. So he did, I believe Abram did wrong at this point. It is an intent of the heart. And what's he doing here? Here we come to a point where the father of faith is lacking some faith. Because why would he do this? God had told him, I'm going to make you a great nation. And yet he turns around thinking he's going to get killed because of his beautiful wife. And how beautiful must she have been? You know, she's in her 70s too. You know, and or her late 60s, and she's so gorgeous that Abram is fearing they're going to kill him over her. So she's got to be pretty wonderful. But it doesn't matter, because God had given the promise, I will make of thee a great nation. And yet here we see some of Abram's doubt first come out. He says, say you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So he's fearing he's going to die. This is all about him. We have to remember, like Pastor likes to say, we keep the main thing the main thing. God had given Abram a promise, and he forgot that. He's not keeping the main thing here. He's saying, let's trick this Pharaoh so that I can get some good stuff and I don't die. So let's go on. So it was, when Abram came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman and that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. So yeah, it went well for Abram when he purported this lie. It went well for him, it seemed. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now, did Pharaoh do this out of the kindness of his heart? Personally, I don't think so. And this is just me supposing. This is just Karen saying, Pharaoh didn't just say, oh, you fooled me, ha ha, take your wife and all my stuff and go. No, I think God was working in Pharaoh's heart to turn this man loose. And God would have done exactly the same thing had Abram just been honest. Abram's fear made him lie and then brought the plagues upon this house. I did some research on this. Some people think that the Pharaoh figured it out because these plagues were coming on him. He figured it out that it was because of that woman. I'm sorry. The man was the king of Egypt, yes, and that's a mighty nation, but I don't think he had all that much on the ball because that was just a matter of his birth. And he had all kinds of advisors and counselors, and I don't think anyone figured that out. I think God worked in his heart and lightened him, just like he did Abimelech later on. We read in chapter 20 how Abram does the same thing. And God, he spoke to Abimelech. It says God spoke to Abimelech. I think God spoke to Pharaoh. And so he said, go your way. Get out of here. He could have killed him. He could have killed Abram. And said, you have tricked me, you have brought this curse on my house, you are dead. But he didn't. Pharaoh spared him and set him free. I believe because God was working in his heart. Because God had made the promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. He's faithful. We have new praise moves. I didn't do the announcements. I'll do that after. We have the new praise moves sequence this month. It talks about the faithfulness of the Lord. He is faithful. Always faithful. He never fails. If he was to say the sky was green and the grass was blue, it would be so. Because whatever he says is. He never does lie. Yeah, we eat every day. We have everything we need. Everything we need. So some people say, you know, wasn't Pharaoh an innocent party here? He was lied to. You know, they deceived him. So wasn't he innocent of this? I won't say he was entirely innocent of this. You know, how many women do you need? You know? Yeah. Exactly. Right. But at the same token, what kind of message did Abraham send when he lied to this pagan? You know, we are to be a witness to the Lord, actually of the Lord, to the world. And so if we lie to people, what kind of witness is that? It's a false witness. What kind of witness is that of our God if we don't go by what he teaches us? So when he had an opportunity to show how mighty his God is, Abraham kind of fell short here. Not kind of, he did. He fell short. He had an opportunity to say how mighty his God is by saying, yes, this is my wife. She's mine by the grace of God, and you aren't going to touch her, and you're not going to touch me. But he didn't. His fear brought about the lies. And so there was an opportunity missed there for God to be shown mighty in Egypt. Have we ever missed an opportunity to show God as mighty in the life of somebody we could be witnessing to? You know, I'm an oldest child, so I've always heard that term, example. I've heard that a lot. I got to hate that word, example, I gotta tell you. But I'll use it now. Aren't we to be an example of Christ? So when we're talking to non-believers, do we try to shame them for the fact of their unbelief, or do we share with them the amazing qualities of our God? Amen? That's what I hope to do. I failed. A couple of months to me is recent. You know, I had an opportunity to do better, and I missed it. But I hope in my behavior since then, I've shown myself to be a better example of Christ. Not to blow my own horn, but to be that earthen vessel that shows the excellence of the power is of God, not of me. And so we have opportunities to think of that. So when somebody ticks you off, when you know they are heathen riding on the highway to Hades, and you want to just blow them off, give them a detour sign. Give them a detour sign with the love of Christ. Tell them the truth in love. You don't got to drive it down their throats like a vet spitting a pill down the horse's throat, you know. They're not going to take it. Just like that horse, they will chuck it back up. Show them the truth in love, and they'll take it a whole lot better. And it's not going to happen like that. It's going to take over and over and over again. Because like Ashley, have they ever done what you wanted the first time you told them? Sometimes. Hey, she's got good kids. But just like that, just like raising children, it's like cultivating the kingdom of God. You have to plant that seed, and then you water that seed. You tell somebody and you show somebody that love more than once, more than twice. You're going to have to do that a lot. And it's going to take patience on your part. And please, don't pray for patience, because you will get opportunities to use it. Go ahead. Yeah, well, and it's Satan uses the church against their own purpose. When people are sanctimonious, when people are holier than thou, That is, you're defeating the Lord's purpose when you do that. And I'm not saying any of us do that. I'm just saying maybe it's an opportunity when you see it happening to maybe educate somebody and say, hey, let's show them the truth in love. Exactly. Let's be an example of Christ to these people who don't believe. Let's not lie to them and say, you are going to hell. You don't know that. You're not the judge. It's like there's a line from a movie I enjoy, and it says, this guy tells people, hey, that's not your job. And when I hear people judging someone, that immediately comes to my mind. Hey, that is not your job. That's Jesus' job. We are in a moment in time where he is allowing people to come to him. How are we going to lead them there? With anger and judging, or with love? So Abram, he missed it. He missed an opportunity to share how mighty his God is by using a lie of omission. Yeah, Sarai was his sister. Sarai is also his wife. And he should have told Pharaoh that. So, because Pharaoh was entitled to know it. He was entitled to know it. So that he didn't commit the sin that brought the plague on his house. And he endangered Sarai by doing this. He thought of himself more than he thought of his wife. He endangered her to be put in a harem and possibly used ill because he didn't want to die. But when the husband's role is to protect the wife. So he missed it there as well. You know, I don't want to get into a big thing about husbands and wives and what their roles are. That's a whole other message. But there is a point when the man has to step up and the woman has to submit. Sarai submitted. What did Abraham do? All right. Okay, let's not get off on that. Now, I think I've made my point, the main point, being the main thing, being example of Christ. We, in these earthen vessels, can wield the power of God. And I think God wants us to know that. I think that's why Abram is showed to be a human being. There's all kinds of talk in the Jewish community about why did God leave this in here? Why did God show our father Abraham to be so weak? It's because he's a human being. And because human beings make mistakes, human beings can rise to great heights with power of God, and human beings can sink to really low lows when they turn their backs on God and his will. And I think God wants us to know that, and he's showing us that right from Adam all the way through Revelation. He's showing us that. This is coming from a Catholic girl. Actually, I'm not Catholic anymore, but I was raised Catholic. And these people, Abraham, David, all the forefathers, Paul and Peter, all these people were shown to be these amazing, godly people who can't be touched. They were spiritual. They were closest to perfection as you could get outside of Jesus. Wrong. That is not the truth. That is not the Bible. Exactly. And see, that's the thing about Catholicism. Unfortunately, you're not taught to read this. You got to get the word. You got to get it straight from the horse's mouth. You have to read it in here, and you see Abraham, David, Paul, Peter, James, John, all of them. They're human beings, and God was able to use them. And so be encouraged by that and understand that if God can use them, God can use you too. You are every bit as good as these because you're in Christ Jesus. So you can be used of him. God, I hope I was used of you tonight. I hope we got through. I hope I brought the word that he wanted brought. But just understand that you are a vessel to the Lord as you are willing to be. And just let his peace lead you. And you will do great things for the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Let me get the announcements.